Richard made a comment about Labor Day. You know, it's kind of interesting to look at the history of Labor Day. Did you know it is one of the oldest American holidays? I think that's kind of interesting. This is the 125th anniversary of Labor Day. The first year it was started, the average work week was 70 hours. That was the average. And that was in 1887. It was the unofficial end of summer for a lot of people. The first Labor Day parade was in 1887. The NCAA and the NFL always started their season with the first games on Labor Day. Well, we sort of shut that one, haven't we? It was the last day to wear white. And it was also the last day to wear seersucker. And some of you don't know what seersucker is. If you don't ask one of the senior ladies here, they can tell you. 1909, and I think this is interesting, Labor Sunday was introduced. That was a spiritual and educational aspect of labor, which is sort of what we're doing this morning. Richard already pointed out that the songs that we sang had to do with labor. I think it's important to realize that God designed man to work. You say, not me. And stop and think about that for a minute. Would you really want to just sit in a rocking chair the rest of your life? You know, it's kind of interesting, the guy that I replaced at Riley High School in 1959, a guy named Carl Schubert, and he informed me that he was going to spend every day in his rocking chair on his porch. And I thought about that, and I asked Russ Rhodes, who was also retiring about that time and was one of the guys that I worked with. I did his job as ticket manager at Riley for years. I said, what do you think about that, Russ? And Russ said, he won't last 2 weeks. And he didn't. He died. God designed man to work. In Genesis 2 and in verse 15, the Bible says, the Lord God took man and put him into the garden. Why? Read the rest of the verse. To dress it and keep it. God intended for man, as a part of his basic makeup, to work. And I think it's important to understand that God's people and all Christians are called to be willing workers at all labor, all levels. One of the interesting passages that we've been studying on Wednesday night is in 1 Timothy, and in the 6th chapter, and we just finished studying this the last week or so. In that passage, Paul says, all who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Christians are to be workers so that God's name not be slandered. That's what it says. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. Paul says, labor is to be a part of our Christian work. And it's important for us to understand the importance of labor. Labor Sunday taught that message. What's interesting is it didn't survive, because the secular world doesn't want to hear anything about work. But from the biblical perspective, we know God has always blessed those who worked. What do you know about your famous biblical heroes? Like Solomon. How did Solomon learn and grow in understanding? You know, this guy was a workaholic. And we could spend an hour talking about that, couldn't we? In Ecclesiastes 1, beginning with verse 17, Solomon says, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness. And follow, I made great works. Okay, well how'd that help you, Solomon? How'd that make you wise? I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees. I made me pools of water. Then I looked on all the works my hands had wrought and on the labor that I labored to do. And then he said, but you know what the problem is with all that? The last thing he says, I had a problem with my labor because I was going to leave it to some man that would come after me. Chapter 2 and verse 18. So, what's his conclusion? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Every biblical hero was a person who dedicated themselves to work. And that's not just in there, I don't think, just to be glossed over. I think that if we're going to talk about the example of the Old Testament, look at the heroes. Nehemiah, how did he rebuild the walls? Read Nehemiah 4, beginning with verse 16 and on through verse 17. They worked so hard, and people were coming after them so hard, they had to have a weapon in one hand and their tool in the other hand. That's commitment to work. Do you ever think about Noah and building that ark? How long did it take him to do that? A year. Have you committed yourself to work for a year? You know, we talk about retirement. He never retired, did he? Moses, how long did it take him to achieve the goal of his work? 40 years. And Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 10, says, we beseech you, brothers, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be understanding. There's a job for you. Be understanding. Do your own business and work with your hands as we commanded you. Those are things to do. That's work. That you may walk honestly toward those who are outside the church and have lack of nothing. You know, one of the things that's been interesting to me in my retirement is the opportunities that doing work have given me to talk to people. We live in an area where there's a neighborhood. We have a neighborhood group that looks after the properties where we live. And one of the things that's been interesting to me is that the people who are active and doing things in the community have been people who have come to me and said, well, I appreciate the fact that you're mowing the grass up there by the water tower. I've tried to talk to them about the Bible. They didn't want to hear that. But when they saw labor, when they saw me committed to something and working towards something, it opened the door to discussion. I taught for 41 years at South Bend Community School Corporation. There were a lot of people I tried to influence with the gospel of Christ. And I don't know why it took me so long to realize this. But you know who I had success with? The people that I worked with. The people that I didn't work with, the people that were in some other department, in some other part of the building, if I would approach them and say, I'd like to study the Bible with you, they'd blow me off. But the people I was working with, people that we did things together daily, were people that allowed me to share with them the gospel of Christ. Indolence, in other words, inactivity, is condemned by God. I think that's there for a reason. I think it's a health reason, as well as a spiritual reason. Proverbs 6, beginning with verse 9. How long will you be sleeping, O hater of work? Isn't that interesting? Let me sleep a little longer, you say. And poverty creeps upon you like a robber and destroys you. Want attacks you in full armor. And let me suggest to you, it's not just talking about not having something to eat. When it says poverty creeps upon you, poverty of relationships, poverty of happiness, poverty of the joys of life. Work is not just digging and hoeing. Work involves far more than that. In Proverbs 26, beginning in verse 16, the writer says, the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can return a judicious answer. Do you realize studying God's Word is work? I get up in the morning at 6:30. I spend 2 to 5 hours studying the Word of God, preparing lessons. Doesn't show, does it? Well, I try. But you know why I do that? Because, and it's work. It's work. It's not my nature. I'd rather be out in the river fishing. But see, I know that I need that. And I'm strengthened by that, and it brings satisfaction to me. He goes on and says, he passes by and vexes himself with strife that doesn't belong to him. And he is like one who grabs a dog by its ears. Do you ever grab a beagle by the ears? Why would somebody grab a beagle by the ears? I don't know whether this works with all dogs or not, but it pretty much does with beagles. You know what happens? You're going to get bit. You're going to get a snarl, even if it's your favorite dog. See, the point is, one who grabs a dog by the ears is too lazy to play with the dog, to pet the dog, to do what the dog really needs and desires. It's an irritation. And Paul says it directly, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, for when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And by the way, that reference is to Christians, Christians that would not work. We're not talking about the food pantry here. We're talking about people who are dedicated to Christ. We as Christians need to understand that God expects us to do something, not to just sit around and wait for it to come to us. Work and labor are the physical responsibility of all humans, and they bring great joy. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, is a passage that we all know. It was kind of interesting last night. We had one of those shows on PBS where they're resurrecting songs from the 50s. Yeah, I know some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But the older folks will. There was a song called Turn, Turn, Turn. And the Birds sang it again on the show last night. And I was reminded of that because listen to what Solomon says in chapter 3 about the reality of life. And ask yourself, is labor involved here? There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Every activity, doing. There's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time to plant, and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to rear and a time to mend, tear and a time to tend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does a worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid upon man. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Do you hear that? Beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning. I know there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live. Every man may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is a gift of God. Tim lives in a group home. Tim is blind. His roommate is blind. The guy down the hall has got extreme cerebral palsy. But the guy down the hall is also mentally fine. And I asked him one time, what is the hardest thing about having cerebral palsy? And what do you think he said? Oh, I can't play golf. Oh, I can't bowl. Oh, I can't. You know what he said? I can't work. I can't find a job. I can't do anything to support myself. God has established that what brings joy to us is the capacity to work. If you do what you love, you don't get bored. And let me say to you, especially if you're a young person, if you're bored in your job, get another job. Find something else. Enjoy what you do. I taught school for 41 years. You say, well, why'd you quit? It wasn't because I didn't love what I did. As a matter of fact, the first September after I retired, I told my wife, I said, we got to get out of town because I'm going to be so hurting. I want to be in that classroom with those kids. We went to Portland, Oregon. Got on a ship as far away from Riley High School, room 305, as I could get. And when I came back to town, what was the first thing I did? I went up to see how my kids were doing. I would still be teaching, but you see, I had some other responsibilities that took me out of the classroom. And you say, well, I hate my job. Really? Suppose you were out of your job for 6 months. How long would it be before you missed it? God made man to labor, to work, to do things. And folks, that's not just true on a physical level. That's not just true about making a living. As a matter of fact, it's probably less true there than it is that God calls us to spiritual work. Philippians 2 and verse 12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know what's interesting about that passage? The word work out your own salvation, is not the Greek word ergon. It's not. Which is the word that involves sweaty labor, according to the lexicon. As a matter of fact, the only place the word is used in the whole Bible is right here in this passage. And what it literally means is do your part. Well, that sort of changes it, doesn't it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't mean you can earn salvation. It doesn't mean that if you study the Bible enough, you're going to be saved. What it says is, do your part. Engage in labor. In Romans 2, beginning with verse 5, that theme is repeated. Paul says, your heart treasures your own wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who have continual well-doing and seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But glory and honor and peace will come to every man who works for good. For there is no respecter of persons with God. You know, one of the things I think we fail to understand is the fact that if you're not pleased with your church relationship, if you're not happy with your spiritual situation, if you're struggling with your relationship to God, Paul says you need to work. You need to have a continual well-being and seek glory and honor with God. And listen to what he says to end this. For the healers of the law think they are just before God. Who are the hearers of the law? They're the ones who went to synagogue and listened to the passages be read. In our day and time, those who come to church and hear a sermon or turn on the radio and listen to a better preacher than they could hear at church. The hearers. But then he says, but the doers of the law will be justified. See, God calls man to labor because God knows man needs to labor. And that labor can be joyous, it can be happy, it can be good. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 33, we have a picture of the judgment scene. I want you to listen to what it says about how the judgment goes on here. Jesus says, he shall set the sheep on his right hand and say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because you never missed a service. You attended Wednesday night and you came every time the door was open, right? That's what it says. No, that's not what it says. You listen to recordings of preachers of every church you could find. No, that's not what it says. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. That's work. You don't think it's work? Ask Richard. I've forgotten how many pounds he said he had to pick up this week, but he had to use his truck because he couldn't get it in his car. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. You may not realize it, but we took in a guy this week. He came to our Bible class, I think it was last Sunday night, and said, I don't have any place to stay. I may not have it quite right if you want to hear the actual play-by-play, talk to Bill Gibson. But we took him in. We found him a place to live, to stay. I was naked and you clothed me. Well, you get up in the morning now, it's cool. It's going to get cold. Our ladies are working on coats. We need to buy some more coats. I was sick and you visited me. Why do you think you get this sheet every day that lists people who need prayers, people who need visits, people who need cards? Why do you think we're doing that? Because I was sick and you visited me. There is no excuse for every one of us not spending some time every week sending cards, making calls, making a visit, doing what we can. Work. I was sick and you visited me. That's Jesus Christ talking. I was in prison and you came to me. And we do that every day of the week. as we reach out to prisoners all across this country. Right now, we have over 4,000 students we're studying with. And why is spiritual labor necessary? James 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, brothers, if a man says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, but doesn't give him those things that are needed for the body, what does he profit? That's pretty much common sense, isn't it? We need to continue to find those who need and reach out to them. You can be a part of that. Faith that doesn't have works is dead. Wow, I don't want my faith to be dead, do you? A man may say, you have faith, I have works. Show you faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. I would hope that every one of us spends some time visiting, calling, encouraging, strengthening. You believe there is one God and you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. Don't you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? God expects us to labor spiritually, and there are so many ways to do that. At the bottom of the bulletin today, I have a comment. You know, we all know that Tina Hoyt has had an incredible battle with pain. But one thing I love about Tina is she's always looking for ways to serve. One thing I love about Tina is sometimes she takes on a project she probably didn't take on. But guess who was out there with a hip that is so sore she can hardly stand any kind of impact on it? Running a tractor around mowing this property. That's somebody looking for a way to serve God. See, we have people among us who do incredible things. Peggy's doing remarkable work in the things that she's involved in. So every one of us needs to stand before God and say, God, help me see what I can do. I do have to say one thing here. Please understand that things done to us or for us is not work. Now, let me say that again. Understand that things done to us or for us is not work. Salvation is not work. We already talked about Philippians 2:12. Do your part, yeah. But you can't earn salvation. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 8, says, for by grace you are saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Baptism is not labor. Baptism is done to you, not by you. So please understand, we're not talking about our salvation depending upon what we do. Our salvation is by the grace of God. And the fact that you get yourself involved in works is a demonstration of your faith and your commitment and your willingness to serve. And without doing something, your faith is dead. Look at all those passages. You've got it in your bulletin. Spend some time with it. And understand, there is no labor done by you to wash away your sins. That is a gift of God. It is done by God. But you know, it's always up to the receiver to accept any gift. You know that's true, don't you? You know that you give something to somebody, they may decide they don't want it. And there are a lot of people that have the gift of salvation offered to them, and they don't want it. Why? Because it means doing something. It means having faith. It means letting work become a part of their whole existence and lifestyle. It is always up to the receiver to accept the gift. And this is a gift that keeps on giving because of the grace of God. Listen to 1 John 1, beginning with verse 4. As these things we write to you so that your joy may be full. This then is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, if we accept this gift, in other words, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that word cleanses us is an active verb. It happens 24/7. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let me encourage you this week to spend some time looking at your life, at what you're doing. What is your labor? And we're not talking about digging ditches. We're not talking about physical stuff at all in many cases. It's just caring enough to pick up the phone and call somebody you know needs a call. And if you don't know, take the sheet you've been given this morning and use it. Don't depend upon the cards going around to be the only time you make contact with those who need encouragement. Because my name is on some of the stuff that goes out there, I get phone calls every week from people that are on this list. Who they or their family says, I can't tell you how much those cards meant to me. I can't tell you how much you visited me. My own family doesn't come to see me. And you came. God blesses that type of thing, and you will be so encouraged and so strengthened. Your faith will grow because faith with work is dynamic and living. If you're willing to accept the gift of God this morning, if you need prayer, if you need to obey him, we encourage you to respond to the invitation of Jesus. Do your part. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?